Today's scripture is from Psalm 96, 1 to 3, 7 through 12. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare the glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Derek. I wonder if you bow your heads and join me in a word of prayer. Lord, on this first day when our Kid Nation is returned and our students meet tonight in the afternoon, and the life of the church is renewed in the fall as it always is, we give you thanks for your presence with us. I thank you for those who worship today here in the sanctuary, for those that are at home or other locations. I pray that in this time you would bless those who listen and the one who preaches, that you would speak to us and help us to live the life that you desire and hear the wisdom from this psalm that we are here to gain in this time of worship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're in a sermon series called The Long Steady Walk, and we're talking about the habits. Just like if you're going to take, you know, a big hike somewhere or go on a trip of that type, there are certain habits that are really wise to start before you start the trip. And the habits not only keep us healthy and get us prepared, but they help us during the journey itself. And so 2 weeks ago, we talked about the habit of growing in the Christian life. Today, if you're at home and you're watching online, you can go to your the website and see the life groups that are available to you to join in this time. And then if you're here in the sanctuary, we have tables outside. One that I'm going to highlight is one called The Walk, and there's a book by Adam Hamilton, but it's the first table on the right. We're hoping to have a lot of folks that'll do that because it'll talk about the habits that we're talking about each week, but it'll also give you something to do each week. So that might be one that, if you're new to life groups, that might be a great place to start. We're going to be having some more things about that. Go on the web and you can check that out. Last week, Bob talked about worship and how important that habit is. Today, I'm going to talk about inviting, the invitation. And often when pastors talk about the invitation, it's usually, here's how to invite people to our church, or here's how to invite people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Both of those things are really important. And today I want to say that there's this other invitation that I want you to think about that I think is a very timely invitation. It's an invitation to us through the psalm, but it's also an invitation we can share with other people. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. And it starts with this text that you just heard Derek read. And I want you to read this with me, whether you're watching online or whether you're here in the sanctuary. Would you just read this out loud? Say it with me. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. And that can be hard to do. It can be hard to sing the Lord a new song. And I would argue that 18, 20 months into a global pandemic, it may be really hard to say to people, sing to the Lord a new song. And yet, no matter what you're dealing with, this is written for people like us right now. And I'm going to tell you why a little bit later in the sermon. I don't know about you, when I gather with people, this is not the activity that we're doing when we sit down to talk. And I say this not by way of giving anybody guilt or shaming anybody. I just want to name the struggle right now. I just want to name the struggle. I find that when I gather for to just talk to people, or maybe we're having dinner, and you're all sitting there and you're under that big patio awning and everybody's talking and sharing, typically the topics that are coming up are not, let me tell you about something great in my life. Let me tell you about something great in the world. Is that your experience? There are a set of topics, and I'm not going to name them because you're you know what they are. There's a set of topics that we're sort of all talking about. I find when I go place, and I'm a contributor to that conversation. So again, I'm not trying to say, but in fact, I would argue that when you can talk about hard things, that is a sign of good mental health, the ability to articulate that. But what the scripture is calling us to do is something slightly different. It's inviting us to see the world differently than we might see it if we didn't have faith in God. And I would argue that this text, what Psalm 96 calls us to do, is something that should be easier for Methodists. Because Methodists believe in something called prevenient grace. Would you say prevenient grace out loud? Prevenient grace, that's a term you should know. That means that God is running ahead of us, that God is actually out in front of us doing good things, lining things up, that in the providence of God, we can believe that God is for us and that God loves us, and that the Lord's working on our behalf. And I think that when we have so many things happening in the world that are difficult, and there's bad news out there, and there's sort of tough practices that we've got to follow, and all these things are happening at once, it gets harder and harder for us to see the world through the lens of faith, and to see that, especially right now, God is for us and God is with us. And so what the psalm is asking you to do is to think about, how do I sing to the Lord a new song right now? A different song. How do I declare the glory of God amongst all people? Well, this last week I got a news story. I subscribe to this news service that sends me good news. And I did that because I realized that I was doing a lot of deep dives into difficult news a lot. And I thought, I've got to have some kind of a counterweight to that. So I signed up for this thing, and it sends me, you know, good news, and that's great. Well, one article that came through that just last week was about a man named Frank Grassberger. And Frank and his wife live in a seniors center. They're in their 90s. Frank is a World War II veteran. And 12 years ago, there was a class of third graders that was studying World War II. And they were studying the rise of Nazism and Adolf Hitler. And at the end of the unit, the teacher had the class write thank you letters to real veterans. And she got a list of World War II veterans. And 12 years ago, Frank was one of those veterans who received a letter from a girl named Deshauna. And he didn't know her, and she didn't know him. But when Frank got the letter thanking him for his service, she understood the historical context of what he had done and how that changed world history. And she named that in this little letter written by a third grader. And it was just a big thank you. He was so moved. His wife said he was so moved. He was in tears. He folded it up and he put it in his pocket. And every single day, when Frank gets up in the morning, he takes the letter and puts it in his pocket, and he carries it with him every single day, even now, and he's in his 90s. Well, the people at the center where they live just realized how important this was, and they decided it was time for Frank to meet the author of that letter. I don't know how they did this, but CBS News had a story about Frank meeting a woman named Deshauna Priest, who was once a little girl, but is now a young woman, and this is the story.
Hey.
Deshauna is now 21. She vividly remembers writing the letter as a school assignment because she so admired people in uniform.
Just like, wow.
I get to write to a veteran.
Yeah.
So it was like an honor.
Yeah.
An honor that continued.
So here she is.
When Deshauna surprised Frank in her National Guard uniform.
Oh, I love you so much.
You can't imagine the feeling I had when she stood next to me. It just took my breath away. It really did.
I thought, where's his heart pills? Because I thought, oh, this is it. This is the big one.
I'm telling you, this is a godsend. It really is.
Fortunately, Frank's heart only swelled and may never return to its original size.
So this is the beginning of something.
Yeah, friendship. Family, not friendship.
There's love there, deep down in the heart. She's like my third daughter, she really is.
It started with a lot of love and affection, and it's ending the same way.
Who knew a simple thank you could make a life complete?
Now, you can look at that and say, hey, Tom, nice story. Yeah, nice, thank you. Yeah, you can look at that and you can say, hey, nice story, but Tom, have you seen what's going on in the world today? Or we can look at that and say, I think God's alive and well in the world today. I believe that God works preveniently. I think it's very possible to believe that God inspired a third grade teacher to help a group of students write these notes. I think that it's possible that the Lord knew that the people that received those notes needed to hear that word of gratitude. I think that it's quite possible that the Lord knew that Frank needed to hear that word of gratitude just by the response that he had to the letter. And you heard what his wife said. You know, I think it's possible that the Lord used that exercise to help Deshauna sort of think about her life. She's now serving her country in the National Guard. I think it's possible that the two of them, when they finally met, made decisions that were in concert with the love of God to express love and appreciation to one another. I think that God is at work in the world. And the question is whether you and I have the eyes to see that God's at work in the world. And I think that this is happening not just in other people's lives, I think it's happening in our lives. So I'm going to give you a three-question exercise. Those of you who are watching online, if you would type your responses in the chat box, I'm going to take a few responses in the sanctuary, put the first question up, and then if you put things in the chat box in a moment, I'm going to ask Bob Riggles to read those out. He's going to turn his microphone on and do that. And so the first question is this: can you think of a particular place that you've seen the beauty of God in the last 2 weeks? Let me extend that. You could say this summer. Is there a place, think about where you've just been the last couple weeks. Is there a place where you've seen the beauty of the world in such a way that you thought, wow, God is pretty amazing? Just raise your hand if you can think of a place. In the very back, give me your place. Say it really loud because you're wearing a mask and I can't hear half the time. No, that's you.
My neighborhood.
Your neighborhood. How wonderful that it was right there, front row.
Sunset.
The sunset. Yes, great.
Hocking Hill, Ohio. Hocking Hill State Park.
Oh, a state park in Ohio. How lovely, how lovely. Yes.
My family.
Your family. Yeah. Yeah, so my point is, I'm hoping that everybody can. Now, I'm going to ask Bob to read out what folks said online.
The crepe myrtles from my window, Grace Ministries, upstate New York. Oh, just all kinds of great things coming in. Middleburg, beautiful sunsets. Yep. They're just moving so fast now. They keep coming so quickly.
One more, Bob.
My grandchildren's laughter.
I love that. I love that. So I want you to think of those particular places. Gentleman at the last service lives in Stafford, drives to Quantico to work. He raised his hand. He said, sunset on I-95. Now that's a choice. Amen. Northbound traffic early in the morning, I-95. Some people are not seeing the sunset, right? So it's a way of being. That's the invitation, is can you have a way of being so that you are seeing things? Here's the second question. Name someone in whose life you saw the goodness of God recently. This could be, you might call out like a spouse or a child, or my goodness, they're already coming. In the back, yes. So a sister who is dealing with cancer, I think you said, and just the way she's doing that, right? Yeah. Did I see another hand over here? Those of you online, we're going to take yours in just a moment, so put them in the chat box. Yes?
Kathy.
He just named his wife, who's sitting on the pew. That's really nice. That's really nice. In between their niece, who's feeling a little awkward. but it's good. It's good. Yes, on the front row. Say a little bit louder. A little sister becoming a young lady. What a not, come on, that's really nice. But you can see it, right? You know, there's a moment, I've watched four girls grow up, and there's just a moment when you can see a little girl become a young lady. You really can. That's the way you worded it. And I feel like I've seen some of those moments myself. Bob, online, what did people say?
My 95-year-old aunt, a pararider at the barn where I work, the grateful Afghani families, my neighbors, dad helping a vet open a milk container at the VA hospital cafe.
One more.
My ex-mother-in-law, she passed away in 2006, and we all miss her so much.
Wow. Did you, everybody just hear that? She said, my ex-mother-in-law, even though, and there's a story there, I'm betting, but she's still holding her in love and delight in the goodness of God. That's the eyes of faith. Now, third question that I'm not going to ask you to call out, but I want you to think of an experience where you saw God's presence at work. Not where you work, but God working is what I'm saying. Think about an experience where you saw God's presence at work in the world. I've asked you to do that because what I want you to realize is these are not just other people's stories that we have to get in the news. These are the stories of our lives. But they are only the stories of our lives to the extent that we have what Jesus said, eyes to see and ears to hear. And so what this psalm is asking us to do is to think about where do you see this new song that God is writing? Because there are many hard things in our lives, and that is also true. Talk about a time when you have got to be resilient. It is right now. And not just because of a global pandemic, but because of things that are happening in your life on top of that. Now, here's something interesting. I'm going to create a timeline for you, okay? We're going to walk quickly through a little bit of the Bible. Psalm 96 was written in a certain place and time before Jesus was born. That's over there. Psalm 96 was written to a certain group of people, and when that author was writing to that group of people, the author borrowed from the prophet Isaiah, who lived a few generations prior. And you see this in Isaiah chapter 40 through 55. You see the exact same language that's used in Psalm 96. So let's put that up there. In Isaiah chapter 42, it says, "See, the former things have taken place, new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you." Say it with me. "Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth." Does that sound familiar? That's the exact language that's used in Psalm 96. And so the psalmist borrowed from Isaiah. Now, what's the context for Isaiah? Do you remember in 586 BC? The army of Babylon came to the gates of Jerusalem, tore them down, tore the city walls down, invaded, took all the people of Jerusalem and carried them back into exile into Babylon. And that was a generation before Isaiah wrote these words. After about a generation, the Persians invaded Babylon, took over Babylon, and told the people of Judah, "You can go back home." And they began walking back home, and that's the time of Isaiah 42. And Isaiah said to them, because Isaiah was like, wow, this is tough. I mean, you were taken into exile for an entire generation. Now you are literally walking back to Jerusalem from Babylon. And when you get there, you're not getting to a city that's going to welcome you. You're getting to a campsite. Like, it's going to be a mess when you get there. Your lives are in shambles. And so Isaiah said, "See, everybody, I want to tell you something. The former things have all taken place. And there is a new thing I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you." What's Isaiah tell these people to do? Sing to the Lord a new song. Hey, in the midst of this hardship, I think what Isaiah was saying, in the midst of this hardship, I want you to know that God is with you and God is for you. Can you see it? And what they want to do is say, yeah, but, you know, the former things have taken place. And the hard thing of the transit back, you're in the middle of that. But I want you to see what's going on. Now, the person that wrote Psalm 96 is echoing Isaiah. Why? Because every generation has to hear this again, because there's never been a generation that didn't have a hard thing happen. Amen? It's not new to be in hard times. Many of us have lived so long without significant hard times that we just thought that was normal. But if you read human history, the hard time is the normal. And so we're in a hard time, and so the psalmist was in a hard time, and now I'm over here, and we are reading Psalm 96, and I'm saying the same thing to you. The scripture is calling us to sing to the Lord a new song. That's the invitation. And the question is whether we can see it, and I struggle with this. I struggle with this. If I'm sitting around with three or four people, and somebody wants to talk about what hard thing they're facing today, I'm all in. I can put fuel on that fire. Amen? Do you have that ability? You know what the harder thing is? The harder thing, and I don't mean just being the glib optimist who's like, hey, it's really not that bad. No, it is that bad. I'm talking about the ability to look around and see that God's in your life and that the Lord is still at work, that you have not been abandoned, that you haven't been set aside. Can you see the goodness of life and the beauty that's around you? Can you see the goodness of life in the people that you share life with or people you don't even know? And if you can, you have something interesting to offer others. You have an invitation to share. You have an ability that many lack right now because the journey has become so difficult for others. And you, if you have this ability, will be a source of inspiration to other people. You just will. They'll be so impressed at your ability to hold the eyes of faith. So how do we do that? Number one, we've got to notice the goodness and the beauty of life. Friends, our life is more difficult right now. Yesterday was the 20th anniversary of September 11th, and I would argue life has never been the same for this generation since. And beauty and goodness surround us every single day if we have eyes to see. The guy on I-95 who sees the sunset and not the traffic has made a decision. And the psalm, if you read Psalm 96, it says this. It says, this is what Derek just read. Let heaven celebrate. Let the earth rejoice. Let sea and everything in it roar. Let the countryside and everything in it celebrate. Just like pilgrims going to rebuild a city after a long and difficult journey from Babylon to Jerusalem, you and I have to have the capacity to see the goodness of what God is doing among us. And we have to be willing to articulate it and brag on the Lord. You know, last week I told you, a couple weeks ago, the Red Cross called us and they said, hey, we need clothing because we've got people coming into Dulles right now, and we were given your church's name, and you're at the top of my list. Can you help us? And I need help in about 3 hours. I mean, this guy was, he needed help right then. And I said, what do you need? He said, we need clothing. And you all had already started giving to this fund for help Afghani evacuees. And so the money was in place because you're a generous church. And so we called some volunteers. We went down to Costco and Target. And I had said to him, I said, can you want used clothing, new clothing? And he said, they've been in the same clothes for like 3.5 days. I would love it if it could be new clothes. He said, they also have nothing. So I think that would be great. So we said, great, we'll do it. We went down to Target and Costco. We're standing in the Costco, four carts, and people are kind of staring at us. We're like a parade. We're not customers. We're a parade. And we're pretty high energy. We're talking, and we've had a list. They gave us a list of what they needed. And so we're going through there. And so people are sort of noticing us. And so as they're noticing us, people are staring. And so, you know, me, I'm more than happy to engage you. And so and I'm like, yeah, let me tell you about it. Well, this woman, she said, what's going on? So I was standing there with another volunteer in the back, and a couple of us were up front, and I said, well, the Red Cross called in our church, and generosity, and we just, people really want to do something to help these folks coming from Afghanistan, and we've got veterans in our church and active military people, and they're the ones that have come to me and said, this is really important that this be done well, and will the church be involved? And we just feel like when we got that call, like God was giving us this opportunity. I'm talking about it right there in Costco. right? I am taking the Lord's name and putting it in front of people. We feel like God's calling us to do this, and it's just a real joy. And you know what? She did not say, "How dare you? I'm an atheist, and you've offended me." She did not say that. Do you know what she said? "That's great. Wow. Makes me feel really good that people are doing things. I haven't figured out how to do anything. Do you know how I could do something?" And I said, "Go check out our church website." I gave her the name of the church. I said, "By the way, if you ever want to join us on a Sunday, we're online, we're in person. I'm doing the thing right there." What's that? What is that? What did I just do? I'm giving her an invitation not just to come to our church. I'm giving her an invitation to see the world differently than she may have seen it before the conversation. Wow, there are good things happening, right? And then somebody, I look at the front of the line, and guess what the people are doing at the front of the line? Same thing, except they had a woman who was Islamic, and I could tell by her dress, and she is talking to them, and I was like, "Well, I wonder what's going on in the front of the line." We got in the parking lot, and they said, "She was so grateful," and she said, "You mean a church was, you're a church, but you're going to help people?" Of course we are. We think God loves everybody. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Usually the kindest thing is the right thing. It's just an invitation. And I know, because we did a survey recently, I know about 40% of you have said, "I'm incredibly uncomfortable ever talking about my faith." And what I'm suggesting to you is, maybe there's a way to invite people to see your faith that doesn't feel formulaic or pressure-oriented, but is an invitation to taste and see that the Lord is good. But we have to give glory to God and not ourselves. I mean, when I was in the Costco line, I didn't brag on the church, except a little. I did a little because I do brag on you all. But what I really did was try to talk about what God was encouraging us to do. So that's the second thing to think about. We ascribe what we see to the Lord. Think about that term, ascribe. It means to give honor. It means to say, "I'm just doing this because God asked me to." I don't know about you, but a lot of the good stuff in my life it's not because I'm naturally a good person. I mean, I think I'm about as good as anybody else, but there are a lot of things that I feel the Lord says, "Hey, Tom, now you're going to do this, or you're going to do that differently." Ascribe unto the Lord. So look at the text from Psalm 96. Ascribe to the Lord, you, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come to God's courts. The scripture says, hey, if you're on a long journey from Babylon to Jerusalem, you better start looking around and seeing what's good and saying, "Lord, thank you, and wow, are you doing a good thing. I can't believe we're making this journey back, even though it's a hard journey." Hey, if you're living in the time of Psalm 96, that psalmist saying, hey, remember that. If you're living right here, right now, the whole of scripture is echoing this into our lives. It's how we live our lives today, to ascribe to the Lord the goodness. And once we learn to do this, then we find ourselves doing this invitational work with others. We can talk about God in ways that invite people into the conversation rather than pushing them out or offending them. And just think about how this happens. An example, we were at dinner recently with some old friends. Two of these people I met in kindergarten. That's how long I've known them. And another since about the third, fourth grade. And we were having dinner. We hadn't seen each other for a very long time. And the host said, hey, let's have a word of prayer. And I was surprised. Two of us were pastors, and I was getting ready for that thing they do where they're like, hey, would you pray? And instead, he said, I'm going to pray. And I said, well, we all said, great. Won't that be wonderful? And so we bowed our heads, and I thought he was going to do what we always do. You know, Lord, thanks for this food, and so on. And he did that. He thanked God for the meal. But then he said, God, I think about these friends, and I think about what each one of them is doing in their lives. and how they are blessing other people and how you work through them. And how, I mean, honestly, I couldn't believe emotionally how that impacted me. And I began, during his prayer, I began to think about the other people in that room and what they do with their lives. Everybody had a different job. And I thought about how important every job was. He led me into a moment of clarity where I ascribed unto the Lord, glory due God's name. And you know what? At the end of that prayer, nobody looked up and said, how dare you make me pray? Nobody did that. What do you think people did at the end of that prayer? I think people had the same experience I had. Nobody said anything, but there was this pause before the conversation started again. He was so lovely, and you can do that in your home. You can do that before a meal. And I'll tell you something, your friends who don't go to church each week, they are not going to complain when you give God thanks for their lives. That's my experience. And appreciate them. Let's say you're having a conversation about parenting and somebody's sharing that it's really hard and they're trying to figure out how to be a better parent, because what parent has not said that out loud? What parent has not said, this is kind of tough at this time? And so they're coming to you as a friend and they're coming for advice, and you do give them some advice on some good ideas that you found that help in your parenting. But at the end of it, you say, hey, can I just tell you one last thing? As you know, I'm a Christian. And one of the things I try to do is to pray for my children, and I find when I pray for my children, I'm able to see their gifts that God has given them. I'm able to see what a blessing they are in my life, and I'm able to see that even the things that bother me as children, certain habits may later become their strengths as adults. And I find that when I pray for my children, God gives me more wisdom and patience. Do you have any friend who's going to be offended by that? See, the story we tell ourselves is, if I do that, somebody's going to be offended. And I don't think that's because people are going to be offended. I think that's a way that our shyness is telling us that. But right here, right now, this time period, any good thing you do, people, I think, will celebrate. Because you're not by nature pushy. You're not by nature going to drag somebody through, you know, let me show you my booklet and now you've got to pray this certain prayer. It's not you. But you can do this. And until you and I, here's the thing, here's why it helps you on your journey. Once we start doing this out loud, we see things differently, and I struggle. I can get pretty negative sometimes in the crowd with the, you know, this is a problem, and I, you know, just tossing another log onto that fire. But when I am the light, I see the light. And this is why it's powerful for me and why I need it. Because when I am the light, I see the light. And I bet that's true of you too. The more you see what God's doing in your life, and you set it right next to the hardship, and you look at the total, the more you see that God's all through your life. And that's why it's a key habit on this long, steady walk. And so I want to pray that you can embrace that. We're going to stand and sing our last hymn. And as we sing this hymn, I pray that you will see words in this hymn. I don't even know what the hymn is. But when you see it, I pray that you see a new song. I pray that you see that the Lord is calling to us.